Good morning, and welcome to the divine service here at Zion Lincoln. We begin our order of worship this morning with the singing of our opening hymn, O Christ Who Called the Twelve.
Greetings in the name of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We welcome you to the Sunday, July 7th, 2024 worship service at Zion Lutheran Church, Lincoln, Illinois. Participating in the production of this broadcast are Brian and Pam Featon and Casey Jones. Our organist is Nancy Gunterman. The opening hymn is number 856, O Christ Who Called the Twelve, hymn 856 found in the Lutheran Service Book. Cheryl Lowney is sponsoring the flowers on the altar to the glory of God in remembrance of Wilma Stocker's 90th birthday on July 5th. Reverend Charles Olander is sponsoring the radio broadcast today to the glory of God in memory of the 65 million aborted babies.
Let us please rise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
and you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father,
I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being.
Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto you, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
To you I lift up my eyes, O you who are enthroned in the heavens.
Behold, as the eyes of servants look to the hand of their master, as of a maidservant to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes look to the Lord our God, till he has mercy upon us.
Have mercy upon us, O Lord, have mercy upon us, for we have had more than enough of contempt.
Our soul has had more than enough of the scorn of those who are at ease, of the contempt of the proud.
Be to God on high. Be with you. Let us pray. O Lord, your almighty power is made known chiefly in showing mercy. Grant us the fullness of your grace, that we may be called to repentance and made partakers of your heavenly treasures. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Please be seated. The Old Testament reading for this, the seventh Sunday after Pentecost, from the book of the prophet Ezekiel, the second chapter, beginning at the first verse. He said to me, Son of man, stand on your feet and I will speak with you. And as he spoke to me, the Spirit entered into me and set me on my feet. And I heard him speaking to me. And he said to me, Son of man, I send you to the people of Israel, to nations of rebels who have rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me to this very day. The descendants also are impudent and stubborn. I send you to them, and you shall say to them, Thus says the Lord God, and whether they refuse to hear or refuse, when whether they hear or refuse to hear, for they are a rebellious house, they will know that a prophet has been among them. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The catechetical review. In regards to the Ten Commandments, what is the first commandment?
You shall have no other gods.
What does this mean?
We should fear, love, and trust in God above all things.
The epistle reading from 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, beginning at the first verse. I must go on boasting, though there is nothing to be gained by it. I will go on to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that this man was caught up into paradise. Whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And he heard things that cannot be told, which man may not utter. On behalf of this man I will boast, but not on my own behalf I will not boast, except of my weakness. Though if I should wish to boast, I would not be a fool, for I would be speaking the truth. But I refrain from it, so that no one may think more of me than he sees in me or hears from me. So to keep me from being too elated by the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from being too elated. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore I will boast all the more gladly of my weakness, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weakness, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We rise for the singing of the Alleluia. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 6th chapter. Jesus went away from there and came to his hometown, and his disciples followed him. And on the Sabbath he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astonished, saying, Where did this man get these things? What is the wisdom given to him? How are such mighty works done by his hand? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, and the brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they took offense at him. And Jesus said to them, A prophet is not without honor except in his hometown and among his relatives and in his own household. And he could do no mighty work there except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. And he went about among the villages teaching. And he called the 12 and began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over the unclean spirits. He charged them to take nothing for their journey except a staff. No bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not put on two tunics. And he said to them, whenever you enter a house, stay there until you depart from there. And if any place will not receive you, and they will not listen to you, when you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them. So they went out and proclaimed that people should repent. And they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and healed them. This is the gospel of the Lord. Having heard the gospel of our Lord, we confess our common Christian faith to the words of the Nicene Creed.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. And I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Please be seated for the singing of the hymn.
The hymn of the day is hymn number 583, God Has Spoken by His Prophets. Hymn 583 in the Lutheran Service Book.
The sermon text this morning from today's gospel reading. So they went out and proclaimed that people should repent. Thus far the words of our text. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Repent now. Repent now. That is the message of the church. Now, of course, this is not always a very popular message in light of the fact that the call to repentance means that you have done something that needs repenting of. It appears that some people disagree with that sentiment, that statement, and or they believe that they have done nothing that would offend God, that they need to be sorry for, or that they need to be fearful of God, or that they need to be forgiven of. But what does the church do? The church calls people to repentance. That is to be terrified of their sin. Why should we be terrified of our sin? Because sin is only as great as the person that it offends. And all sin offends God. And God will punish sin. Not only will God punish the sins if one dies in unrepentance, they will perish eternally. So, yes, we need to be conscious of this. We need to be concerned about this. We need to think about our sinfulness, repent of our sins. We need to trust at the same time that the God who will punish sin is also a gracious and merciful God. We trust that we have a God who is merciful and forgives our sins and removes the guilt from us, all on account of the person and work of His Son, His dearly beloved Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It is then after we are forgiven and seeing and, yes, experiencing the magnitude of God's grace that in response to this forgiveness, we seek to amend our sinful lives and fight our sins. And fighting against our sins is the fruit of repentance. Now, we can't plead that we're doing a pretty good job. We can't plead that we're doing all right or we're just doing the best that we can or that we're trying really hard to do a good job. Because as it is written in the book of Acts, the times of ignorance God overlooked, but now He commands all people to repent. That is, we are to acknowledge our sin. And what is sin? Let us remind ourselves of that. Sin is every thought, word, and deed that is contrary to God's will and God's law. Now, remember, perfection is the standard. If we're not perfect, we are utterly lost. Well, there's no doubt about it. That is a decidedly tough pill to swallow. That the judgment of Scripture upon us is that we are utterly lost and that there is no good in us and that we must become completely new and different people. And we don't need to spend our time weighing, you know, one sin versus another sin and how bad was this one versus how bad was that one, ranking their guilt, differentiating them, because we know that we cannot pin our hope on anything that we do, that we think, or that we say. Our only hope, right, is that we must cast ourselves on the suffering and blood of Jesus, for he and he alone is our only hope of salvation. Christ alone has kept perfectly the will and law of God, and his righteousness becomes our righteousness through faith. He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Now remember, too, that repentance isn't a one-time thing. Repentance is something that goes on in our lives daily. In the Christian, repentance continues throughout all of life. All of life we contend with our old Adam. We contend with the sin that remains in the flesh. Just as St. Paul says in Romans chapter 7, in his flesh he is at war with the law of sin and death. And he goes and he does this not of his own strength, but with the strength of the Holy Spirit, which follows the forgiveness of our sins. So Paul battles the sin that is in his flesh, not in his own strength, but through the gift of the Holy Spirit. So what are we doing? What's going on here in this place? What we are doing is we are setting the guilt and the terror of sin against the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And of course, it is the righteousness of Jesus Christ that wins out. So when we are in anguish over sin, when we are sorrowful over our sins, then comes the promise of Jesus Christ, the promise of what he has done for us on our behalf. And when we are wrought over our sins, then the gospel is brought to bear on us, right? If we're not repentant, then it's the law that's brought to bear to crush the unrepentant sinner. But when we are repentant, it is the gospel that is brought to bear on us to proclaim the forgiveness of our sins and righteousness in God's eyes through faith in Jesus Christ. Because faith in Christ strengthens, quickens those sorrowing over sin. Romans chapter 5, verse 1, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God. This faith in Christ obtains the forgiveness of sins. This faith shows the difference between the contrition, between the contrition of Saul and David and Judas and Peter. Right? And that's the difference. When we look at those four men, right, we see Saul and David, both kings of Israel, both men who are caught up in sin. Saul was a king who did not keep or trust God's promises. There was a time Saul presumed to offer sacrifices, when that was Samuel's responsibility, the prophet's responsibility to do that. And Saul gets all worried and panicky when Samuel was running late. So what does Saul do? Saul jumps the gun, and he offers sacrifices when he shouldn't have done that. And when Samuel confronts him on this, Saul says something to the effect of, not my fault, that was your fault. You were the one running late, not my problem. That's your problem. Okay, so Saul was unrepentant for what he had done. And later, when Saul couldn't find a prophet, he got panicky. And you remember this, he consulted the witch of Endor. He didn't know what to do. And so he consulted a medium. And the medium was to conjure up the spirit or the spirit of Samuel the prophet. And the prophet spirit does come up. Now, we don't know if this was a demon masquerading as Saul, who was compelled to tell the truth through the word of God, or if God allowed Saul to appear, his spirit to appear at this time, right? But what we do know and what we must remember, that it didn't go well from Saul, especially because we are commanded in the scriptures not to conjure up spirits of the dead. And when that does happen, this is just kind of a little aside here, when that does happen, that is demons masquerading as spirits for purpose of deception, right? So what are we to do? We're supposed to stay away from spiritualists. We're supposed to stay away from mediums. We're supposed to stay away from fortune tellers, because they knowingly or unknowingly are consorting with demons, right? So that is, you know, something we stay away from. We don't meddle in things of that nature, right? So now back to Saul, right? Saul didn't repent. And when he didn't repent, when his kingdom was crumbling, he had no place in his heart for repentance. And what did he do? He went out, decided to go out in a blaze of glory, fought his last battle, and fell on his own sword and killed himself. Right? He died in unrepentance. Now, this is different from King David. King David, who was about as white as impure as snow with cinders in it, right? Like David, you know, is a hero of the faith. This is true. But David had his own problems and his own struggles. He had three wives, at least that I could find, before he spied out Bathsheba. And he wasn't even going for a fourth wife. He was just using his position of authority to pressure Bathsheba into having a fling with him. So what happens, right? She gets pregnant, and David calls her husband back from the summer wars to, well, you know, try and cover things up and make it look like this kid is Uriah's kid, right? Doesn't work. So what does David do? David ends up having the husband murdered. And then he puts on a show of marrying Bathsheba so he can look all like, see how well I treat my servants, my faithful servants, when they die in battle. And this is what King David had done. Of course, David is wrapped around the pole about this because he knows people know, and he knows God knows. Right? And what happens? When the prophet Nathan confronts King David about his sin, King David immediately repents. What does he say? He says, immediately, I have sinned against the Lord. And immediately, remember, Nathan presented the law with the story about the sheep. David, crushed by the law, says, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan doesn't say, yeah, that's right, and you should feel even worse. Nathan says, the Lord has taken away your sin. Law, and then the gospel was brought to bear immediately after that, after David confessed his sin. Right? He trusted the promise of God. He trusted the promises of God. And you see the difference between the two men who are caught in sin. One trusts the promise of forgiveness, one does not. It's like the difference between Peter and Judas. Right? Judas, when he betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ, felt most certainly the terrors of conscience. What does he say when he goes back to the priest with a silver, with a bag of silver? I have betrayed innocent blood. Right? Now, unfortunately, the priests who should have consoled him with forgiveness said, what is that to us? That's your problem. Right? And he flings the money bag back at them, throws the money back. I don't want it. He is truly and really sorrowful over his sin. But in the terror over the sin that he had committed, he didn't believe in forgiveness. He did not believe that he could be forgiven. And since he didn't believe that he could be forgiven, what did he do? He also took his own life. That's different than Peter. What did Peter tell Jesus? Tell you what, Jesus, everybody else can abandon you, but I'll never do it. I will be with you no matter what. Even if I have to die with you, I'll stay with you. Then there's that whole arrest of Jesus episode and the whole confrontation in the courtyard where the lady was like, hey, you're one of them. You were with Jesus. I tell you, I don't know the man. No, I don't know what you're talking about. Yeah, oh yeah, your accent gives you away. You're a Galilean. Bah, I don't know what you're talking about. And then he hears the rooster crow. And what does he do? After the rooster crows, he goes out and he weeps bitterly. He is sorrowful over his sin. But what's the difference between Peter and Judas? Peter trusts, believes that he can be forgiven of his sins. And later, the Lord Jesus Christ forgives Peter and reinstates him to his position as an apostle of the Lord. Then you could look at so many other instances in the scripture. Remember the woman who was simply, Jesus was at supper, and the woman was simply labeled a sinner. She came and she wept over his feet and cried so much that she wet his feet with her tears and dried his feet with her hair, right? And the Pharisee Jesus was eating with, if you knew what kind of woman this was, she's a sinner, you wouldn't have anything to do with her. And Jesus goes on to tell him, you know, you didn't wash my feet, she's washed my feet with her tears. And then he tells this woman, your faith has saved you, your sins are forgiven, go in peace. Wow. Wow. Here is saving faith. You want to know what saving faith is? That you believe that for the sake of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. That is saving faith. So what is the message of the church? Our message is repent. Sorrow over your sins. See the magnitude of them. And believe in Jesus Christ for forgiveness. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Believe in Jesus, that he is the person of the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, the Word made flesh who became incarnate, who walked among us and bore the sin of the world in his flesh and paid for the sins of the world with his blood as the sacrifice to end all sacrifices. He is the very real Paschal Lamb at whose death the temple curtain tore in two, signifying that there is now no separation between God and people. He is Jesus. He is the Savior. His work to redeem us from our sins, his work is to redeem us from our sins. And he has done his work. And at the end of the work, he declared, it is finished. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, believe on the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. Amen. Now may that peace which passes all understanding be in your hearts and your minds, the one true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Let us now all rise for the singing of the offertory.
You've been sharing in the Sunday morning worship at Zion Lutheran Church, 205 Pulaski Street in Lincoln, Illinois, where you have just heard Reverend Mark Thompson deliver the message for this morning. If you cannot be physically present, join us every Sunday morning on the radio at 8 o'clock over WLLM 1370 AM or WLLM 105.3 FM or at www.zlclinc.org, where you will find the links to the internet stream and to Facebook Live. Zion is a member congregation of the Worldwide Fellowship of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you are without a church home, we invite you to become a part of the Zion family. If we may assist you in any way, please call us at 732-3946 or write to us at Zion Lutheran Church, 205 Pulaski Street, Lincoln, Illinois, 62656. Zion also offers a premier education with a Christian worldview for children from age 3 through the 8th grade at Zion Lutheran School. For more information concerning our school, please contact our principal, Dr. Stephen Perry, at 732-3977. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
Please rise for prayer. Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Send laborers into your harvest, O Lord. Preserve your ministers among us, devoted to your word and to prayer. Give many servants to your church that neither the preaching nor the care of your people may fall into neglect or disregard. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious Lord, you have revealed your righteousness in the sight of the nations. Christ Jesus, your holy arm. By his death and resurrection, you have worked salvation. Strengthen the song of your church. Give skill to musicians, poets, and artists. Give boldness to your congregation in this and every place, to sing the eternally new song of Christ. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, soften the hearts of your people in every home. Turn parents and children toward each other in love and patience. Banish the spirit of impudence, stubbornness, and rebellion from all. Sanctify us in your truth, Lord. In your mercy.
hear our prayer.
Almighty God, protect and defend our nation from its enemies. Support our leaders and preserve them from temptation. Through the work of all civil authorities, enable us to live a quiet and peaceable life according to your word. Lord, in your mercy. Dear Heavenly Father, in our weakness, we are strong for Christ's sake, whose grace is sufficient for every need. Give comfort to those whose pain is chronic, whose suffering is unknown, who wrestle with difficult thorns in body or mind, or who are tempted to despair. Intercede also on behalf of Norm Mueller as he recovers from a COVID diagnosis and its attendant symptoms. Continue to strengthen, we pray you, Shirley, as she recovers from her surgery, and grant unto her bodily strength. In weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities, let us boast in Christ and bear his cross by which we and our sufferings are sanctified. Lord, in your mercy. Bountiful God, out of your abundant blessing, you satisfy us with Christ, the bread of life. Give repentance and faith to all who commune this day, that finding refuge in your Son's true body and blood, we may taste and see that you are good. Lord, in your mercy. All these things, and whatever else you know that we need, grant us, Father, for the sake of him who died and rose again, and now lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We continue now with the service of the sacrament. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death in the grave and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Jesus Christ, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, And when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same manner also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
serve you in the true faith and the life everlasting. Depart in his peace.
Please rise. The true body and blood of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will strengthen and preserve you in the true faith into life everlasting. Depart in his peace. Amen. Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord be with you. Bless we the Lord. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and grant thee his peace.
The closing hymn is number 965, God Bless Our Native Land, hymn 965 in the Lutheran Service Book.
Thank you.
And may the Lord bless your comings in and your goings out from this time forth and forevermore. Amen.